Welcome everybody to Oh, a Sopranos podcast. As always, my name is Joe Spellman, and this is
Mitch McConnell.
Fuck.
Yep.
Okay, it's just me and Mitch today, baby.
I want to talk about my favorite show, Sopranos. Okay,
guys.
Okay,
We're losing our audience. Our very conservative audience.
Sorry. Oh, my assistant, my aide says I gotta go do this vote on the floor.
Actually, I feel like that's a pretty respectful imitation of him.
Not so fast. I gotta talk about Army One, my favorite episode, because I like to see people die.
I hate the
Italians.
We're talking Army One.
Season 3 finale.
Season 3. Guys, we're doing this early, so you know that
we're still waking up, you know.
Yeah, it's 12:37 on the West Coast.
So. You know, LA time. Yeah. You know, that's like 8:30.
Still getting the cobwebs out.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, this is the season 3 finale, you guys. Guys, we made another season.
How about it?
God, I can't believe it. It only took us like a year.
Yeah.
Year and a half.
Yeah,
about a year and a half.
We're exactly on the same trajectory as Talking Sopranos, which is really smart.
Yeah, we knew that they were going to come out with it and we were going to link up.
I mean, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
I mean, by the time they finish their
episode,
the time they finish their 4-hour episodes, we're starting that episode. So it's like we kind of overlap a little bit, you know.
You got us and then you got this pygmy shit over there.
Did you listen to the whole episode, right?
With David Chase?
David Chase?
Yes.
Was it 3 hours or whatever?
Yeah, but they talked like afterwards. Like he was on for like an hour and a half.
Yeah, they usually have like somebody on for like an hour, hour and a half, and then they do an episode.
Also, their ad reads are fucking 50 minutes long. Like,
you don't get that shit over here.
Yeah.
It seems like their podcast is just for people who do podcasts.
Who do Sopranos podcasts? Yeah.
Yeah.
Bon Jolton ain't gonna be listening to that for 3 hours, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Good. Very apropos. Bon Jolton, that's his name, right? One of our listeners, liked the scene where the army guy corrects AJ because he says like.
Yeah.
Because what?
He was like, AJ says something like, it's like this. And he's like this? Or is it?
Oh, I get it. Yeah, because we got a complaint that we say like too much, which fair.
Yeah.
I edit the episodes and we do it way too much.
We will try to be.
Well, that. You know.
We're trying.
Yeah, or we're going to get like a drill sergeant on our ass.
Yeah. Oh, good. Good episode idea, actually. Let's get, if any of you know a drill sergeant, have them
we'll
email
get Mitch
us.
McConnell and a drill sergeant for one episode.
Oh, yeah. Drill me. Drill me, sergeant.
All right. Let's get into the episode here. This is obviously written by, I think Chase
and
usually writes the season finales either alone or with somebody, but this was him and Lawrence Connor.
Yeah, he needed help this time, fucking hack.
Well, I actually think Lawrence Connor helped him write Many Saints. So maybe this is a little indicative of the style and the tone that we'll get and whatever, although it just seems quintessential Sopranos, so that's probably good. Directed by the great John Patterson. Originally aired May 20th, 2001, which I'll point out was before 9/11, you guys,
which really sticks out in this
military
episode.
Does nothing. Yeah. We don't fight any wars anymore.
It's army hardly goes to war anymore.
A few months later. But yeah, this is the episode where AJ finally gets expelled from Verbum Dei. We we say goodbye to Jackie Jr.
Hey, is this
gone too soon?
Let me ask. You know how people like won't shut the fuck up about Die Hard being a Christmas movie?
Yeah.
Is this a veto ep in the same way that Die Hard is a Christmas movie?
It's the most, I guess it's the most veto ep that we've seen.
There's a lot of veto, and he has huge part in, you know, the climax kind of the episode.
Yeah, no, I think that's what his character, that's one of the calling cards of his character. If you talk to a casual Sopranos fan, I mean, obviously ultimately becomes his storyline about how he's a closeted homosexual, but
right.
before that he was the guy who shot Jackie Jr. And before that he was Gino trying to cut in line at the bakery.
And he built beans to your ramp.
And build beans to your ramp, yeah. But yeah, this is, yeah, in the same sense that Die Hard is a Christmas movie, this is a great veto episode, guys. but yeah, so let's start from the top. Obviously, we got AJ and his friend. Who is that? Is that Egon Cosmo or whoever the fuck they keep referencing? That's Egon?
Because remember, he comes, the great scene of them like chilling, like sharing the Snapple, him and his friends. And he comes, like his mom drops him off with the football jersey on. And he's like, that's Egon. Yeah. His name is Egon Cosby.
Cosby?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like Cosmo. What? I don't know.
Cosmo Kramer. Cosmo.
Something like that.
Egon.
Why do we have a Hunter Scangarello watch and not an Egon watch? Come
that's
on, guys.
True.
I'm doing the Egon watch for the rest of the series.
Oh, shit.
Never
see him again.
See him again. But yeah, their big plan is to steal some test answers. And they end up taking a whiz down in the basement or whatever, waiting for the janitors to leave, which is never good. Never leave your whiz at the scene of the crime. They teach you day one in crime class.
This was like pre-CSI explosion, I feel like, you know. So.
I mean, how many crimes would you guys have been fingered for if they were following your pee?
Too many.
Oh, man. Yo, I have a fucking story.
I knew Spells would have like a pee story.
I feel like I've never told this story, but I was like drunk in college and like some guy, like the people below us were like annoying. And I went to go like piss on the door. Uh-huh. I swear to God, I'm not proud of this fucking story. and like immediately, I don't even know if I got any pee out because immediately like the girl's boyfriend just like opened the door and was like, what the fuck, bro? What the fuck? It took every ounce of his strength to not beat the shit out of me. I'm surprised he didn't.
Yeah, you had your dick out, ready to pee?
I definitely did.
Your most vulnerable, I feel like.
Did a lot of stupid shit in college.
This is the benefit to like looking like you can't fight is that people just like don't take the time to try to beat your ass. Like I have definitely benefited from that over my lifetime.
I think we all went with that strategy. That was a conscious decision.
I'm not gonna question that. It's definitely true.
Yeah.
I've gotten a lot.
Like, do I want to fucking punch this guy? Not worth it.
Then we
look like I could sue you.
right.
Okay, guys, enough about whizzing. Because we got a lot to cover here. I was looking for it, but I felt like on this watch, which is God knows how many watches it was for me, like I really, really picked up on because it was a little heavy handed at times. The juxtaposition, between AJ and Jackie,
sure.
Sort of what they did with Meadow in University with her and the stripper Tracy. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of like smash cuts and transitions that sort of like linked AJ and Jackie. Mm-hmm. And that to me sort of like was the point of the episode. Cause obviously like, I don't know, do you guys remember watching this for the first time? Did you feel fulfilled with it as a season finale at the time?
No,
I didn't need it. I didn't feel that way either.
I think I agree. I like it more on rewatches.
Well, it was tough cause it was coming off of Pine Barrens and Amor Fu.
Right. And the Jackie murder happens and there's like a whole episode, you know, like,
right. Right. And also Jackie wasn't a character that people really were fucking rooting for or cared about.
Mm-hmm.
AJ certainly is. And I think that's why they tried to like link that so heavily, you know, like,
I
definitely remember watching it live and being like him singing at the end and being like, that's fucking it.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. I remember right. too. Cause I would like have to defend, I was a junior in high school, but everybody would talk about it on Monday and right. people would be like, that sucked. And I'd be like, no, it was great. Just cause I couldn't admit to myself.
Also the little,
and because also like, this was like, you know, this was the third season. This is where like, I think most people just like started.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Because like, you know, it got enough like publicity that like everybody's like, okay, we have to watch this shit. And then for it to end like that, I think a lot of people are like, what?
Yeah. You know, the intersplicing of the other languages being sung always bothered me. It's very, so jarring, strange, and cheesy and weird. Yeah. It's like so.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
So on that, I actually did a little research. And sorry, David Chase did comment on that, and it's not what you think. I mean, what would you even guess that was? Like, I don't know. I'd never even attempted to make a theory about why it switched to different languages and this and that. I thought I in my head, I had justified Uncle Junior singing about an ungrateful heart.
Ungrateful heart.
And then
heart.
We sort of like go and reflect on how each of these characters who is like so affected by his singing that we see, how they have been like ungrateful this season, and God knows all these people are very ungrateful for like the lives that they live and the fact that they're still alive in the business they're in. And
I guess subconsciously I always assumed that those were people singing Ungrateful Heart in other languages.
They're similarly themed songs, but they're not ungrateful. They're not the words Ungrateful Heart, but this is what Chase had to say in an interview. And
it's funny because I was watching it with the like captions on because I like forgot to turn them off or whatever. And it just says Mandarin singing. So you would assume that it is that song in just different languages.
It's French, anyway. Mandarin, and like the Spanish, maybe. I don't know. But yeah.
Okay.
This is what he says.
Significance?
That singing thing is about how all over the world people engage in pure sentimentality. Everyone loves a good cry. And I don't mean to denigrate funerals or death. It also has something to do with entertainment, filmed entertainment. Music can be used so manipulatively. And Junior, who is the most selfish character in the cast, is pouring his heart out. Didn't mean a thing, just to wallow in the moment. Pop music is so abused and overused, manipulated and employed in the service of the devil. It was to give the audience a laugh about how they are being manipulated every day. So essentially,
first of all, like there's no success. Yeah, major success because everybody understood that. Like,
yeah, got it, David. Great. Yeah,
got it, Mr. Chase. Sounds like he's saving his ass because everybody was like, "Yo, seriously, fucking Johnny Sack is crying right now. Like, what the fuck?"
Yeah, really? I mean, I get it. I think that is sort of a theme in the show that people are easily manipulated and.
Sure.
But, especially by culture and pop culture for sure.
But it is funny because whatever, an hour before, all Junior cares about is that he's out and he's like, oh, the fucking gravy's good tonight. You know, like,
yeah, exactly.
He doesn't give a fuck that someone died.
Like, let's look at the scenario. Like, see, the high school me was trying to like, oh, Ungrateful Heart. They're all ungrateful characters. Like,
right.
That's so brilliant. But like, let's look at that moment. Like, those tears are fucking crocodile tears. They're all there at that funeral because of their business and actions that they took or didn't take. And these people like mourning the death of Jackie Jr., mourning in quotation marks, like
also
it's all
they're all
exactly
there.
What Minow says, this is such bullshit.
They're all there with the food and the drinking and all and the open bar, but they weren't there at the fucking wake. Like
yeah. There's nobody there. Cause you know?
It's fucking Super Bowl
playoffs. Yeah. Or Super Bowl. That's fine, David Chase, but why in the final moments of season 3 did you want to make that point, which is a point he's made before and probably more effectively elsewhere. So, I don't know. But yeah, we skipped ahead to the fucking ending.
Wow.
but I mean, yeah, other shit this episode, it's really about like
I still think, but you know, maybe short of like when he tries to kill himself, I think it's Robert Eiler's best acting. That the scene where he comes down in the military uniform is always like, when I think of him, I think of that scene.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. He nails it. And the directing in that episode, in that scene is great as well, with like the Dutch angles and then him ultimately passing out.
Yep.
And Carm and Tony, who were just so angry with him,
my son,
are just
gets
like
panic
pleading
attacks
with him, like, yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's what it,
he's having just like the greatest fit of like a fucking 16-year-old or like, you know, would have. I guess he's a little younger, but like, just like you're like, you know, old enough to not cry about this shit, but you're like, I fucking don't want to.
Yeah, yeah. He
like,
fucked
I
up his
thought
life.
It was, probably, I thought it was like the. Yeah, yeah, he thinks his life is fucking over.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
Like,
well,
it's just
what's,
a great
what's
crying
missing
fit for like a 13-year-old who like feels like their life is over.
Yeah, yeah. What's
16,
missing?
Whatever the
television
fuck age he is,
he's gonna have yeah to get up at 5:30 in the morning and he can't watch TV.
Television.
Oh no,
tell the core,
the yep core.
Tobin Bell from
you mind
from
if
the
I
Saw
smoke a cigarette?
Yeah, from Saw.
Yeah, that was the little bit of irony there with, you know, after he's like,
yeah,
you know, outlining such about discipline to AJ.
Right.
In the very next yeah scene, he's like, mind if I smoke a cigarette right now? Because I can't wait.
Mind if I roll a blunt? Mind if I smoke
right, exactly,
a fat blunt?
Yeah. Starts shooting heroin in front of Tony Carm. yeah, that whole stuff. I mean, it all just comes down to this season, and I think we've said it before, and I think this at some point came directly from Chase. The first season is about Tony as a son. The second season is about Tony as a brother to Janice and sort of to Pussy. And the third season is about Tony as a father. Mm-hmm. And both Meadow and AJ sort of had their own real arcs and storylines in this season where they sort of like were background players by and large earlier than this, you know?
Yeah.
But, and that's the kind of, that's why this was an appropriate like button on the end of the season, was because it was all about Tony as a dad and how he fucked over his kids. And, you know, Jackie Jr. was not his kid, but sort of like is a stand-in for one. And that's the path that he is afraid AJ is going to go down. Right.
Right.
So that's why, I don't know. I think, you know, weird languages singing aside, I feel like this episode itself is a pretty appropriate.
Yeah, it's effective.
To this season.
It's effective for sure.
Yeah. And they're also setting up stuff for next season, right? They're, we got the, we got Paulie and Johnny Sack.
Mm-hmm.
Scene where that I love that sit down with Ralphie, Silvio, Tony, and Paulie. Oh, the one where Furio falls.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite lines in the whole episode. Is I can't believe this, and Ralphie says, "Why not? Last week you believe Flying Saucer was over East Rutherford." The great Ralphie shithead. Like, the whole episode is a lot of good Ralphie shithead talk.
Apparently, there were like UFO sightings in Jersey around that time. So I'm not lying. All this stuff, even like the Black Bear in season 5, like those were all like ripped directly from headlines, like in the Star Ledger.
Yeah.
Like there were black bears appearing in like North Jersey and shit. They used all that stuff. That's what was so great.
Black bears appearing in North Jersey, a little more believable than UFO sightings.
Oh yeah, no, they're not reporting that. They were just reporting that people are reporting they saw them, but
right.
Not like fucking aliens are real. And so that sort of plants the seed, that sit down, because it doesn't go Paulie's way, right? He
right.
leaves like tens of thousands of dollars on the table because Tony, I mean, what do you guys think? Did Tony rule correctly in there? The issue was like some safes being cracked and Paulie's guy had gotten Ralphie's guy the codes.
This is what I think about that scene. Tony should have given him more. And part of the reason why he doesn't is the bringing up of Greengrove. He gets fucking annoyed about the Greengrove
right.
talk. And
right.
and he rules against Paulie because he's
right.
like,
Paulie thinks he's like buttering him up. He's like, right. hey, I took your suggestion. I'm putting my mom in Greengrove. No, you don't want to say those words to Tony when he's about to like rule
and something. It's a combination of that and Ralphie just gave him a fucking sack of cash.
Yeah.
$300,000. So
right.
he's like,
right.
shut the fuck up, Paulie. Like, fuck you.
Paulie, he probably could have thrown Paulie something a little more. And just in the interest of, this is what ends up like becoming a problem, right?
Right.
Paulie's like disloyalty is planted here. And that's why they have mm-hmm. that scene of Paulie talking to Johnny Sack, and Johnny's like, you know, Carmine asks about you. And then next season, that the whole thing with like the joke getting back to Johnny Sack and Ralph almost getting killed and them almost having to take out Johnny. So like Tony could have avoided a lot of trouble if he was just like 20K, you know, or, right. you know, 15 yeah. even.
Right.
So that in that sense, I mean, there's no way you could have known, but you want to keep your people happy, especially one of your closest longstanding guys, you know?
Right.
So,
yeah.
What else this ep, guys? We got, I mean, how did you like how they played out the whole Jackie Jr. stuff, like him in the projects with
Omar Fu,
with Omar coming.
Fu coming.
I thought it was, you know, pretty quick, I guess. It's, I mean,
yeah. it was quick.
Just sort of, they already know where he is.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't like, he isn't fooling anyone.
Yeah.
Bevilacqua got like so much more of a memorable killing than Jackie.
Send off, yeah.
Right. They had to find him. They really had to find him.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's funny. Yeah. Well,
I think it was, you know, I think it was,
speaks to how dumb Jackie is.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it was intentionally anticlimactic. Right. I think.
Didn't he almost drown in 3 inches of water once?
Right.
The penguin exhibit.
Right.
Oh, I love that. Actually, I was like, thinking about that. Like, oh, man, we could, you know, oh, he fell into the penguin exhibit. Thank God he was okay. I jumped in and got him. I had to punch a fucking penguin. Think about that story, Jackie, when they come back from the
Jackie show. Senior had all those penguins whacked.
Jackie! What are you doing?
You talk to that zookeeper? You tell him to put the poison in the pool?
That's a headline from Star Ledger. Penguins poisoned.
Oh, he should break the penguin's kneecaps because you're jumping into the fucking exhibit.
Penguins even have fucking mob kneecaps. I don't know.
20 penguins killed at Newark Zoo. I don't even know what zoo is in New Jersey.
I don't know either. Other stuff they set up for next season.
Danielle,
who originally played by Fairuza Balk.
Really?
You guys remember that? Did you guys watch live?
Right.
So it was originally a different actress.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Right.
When it aired, it was was in like The Waterboy.
Yeah. Yeah. Fairuza Balk.
These are the references I know because around this time, The Craft is the big one.
Yeah.
She was in.
I mean, I always thought she was so sexy.
Return to Oz.
Yeah, she's wild.
Return
crazy
to Oz
way.
Fans when you were a kid.
She's great actress.
In, isn't she in Almost Famous?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like in The Entourage.
But the funny thing is, so they obviously replaced her between seasons, and then they went as far as to go back and reshoot with a new actress for Agent Cicerone,
mm-hmm.
But Chase has never, like, it's the one thing he won't say is why, like, what happened there, like,
so weird,
scheduling.
Then he could probably just say scheduling, but he won't say. So there's something happened.
Yeah, who knows?
Something happened.
Who knows?
God knows what happened.
Weird to think about.
I bet Tony Sirico had something to do with it.
Yeah, probably.
Fairuza Balk? Oh, fuck her.
Ba, 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 ba.
First off, not Italian. Huh?
I hated the fucking Craft.
What? So the girls are like witch girls?
I'm talking about something completely different, but
go for it.
I like the scene there at the like rest stop in the Garden State. It just looked like a rest stop like no one is right now.
That's
like,
when
the tables outside are empty.
Roy Rogers there,
it's
too.
Cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
Hell yeah.
It definitely was. Yeah, shot at it because you can see the highway in the background. Yeah. Like I thought that was like a nice setting.
And that's where
for a meeting.
Ralphie has Vito fake call him and pretend to be Tony.
Yeah.
Vito's like, I think I see a rabbit, maybe a squirrel.
Possum.
Great Vito app, guys.
It's a Vito app. I'm telling you.
It's a Vito. AJ being so stupid with the DNA test. I love how Meadow's just like, moron. They cannot test your DNA from your pee that quickly. He's like,
I mean,
fuck.
They really, like, their dynamic could not be more like me and my sister.
It's, like, they get it so right. And people complain about those characters.
Oh, yeah.
I did
the dumbest shit, and my sister would always be like, oh my God, you are so fucking stupid. How did you get caught again for doing that? I mean, I just, like, notoriously got caught for everything.
By peeing everywhere.
Yeah, by peeing everywhere.
But yeah, and then the other stuff we didn't talk about, Meadow, I love Meadow talking to Jackie's sister and them like sort of having
good actress. Because
it starts out like, yeah, oh, she's good.
She is
yeah.
good. You know who she almost looks like? And I was like, it's not her, but what's her name? Christine Milioti.
Oh, she's, yeah.
Johnny, she's Johnny, but she's Johnny Sack's daughter in later seasons.
Right. Right.
But I think she's a really beautiful, great actress, and she's from Jersey.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
She was in Palm Springs.
Yes.
The movie with Andy Samberg. Yeah. She's the woman, she's the mother in How I Met Your Mother. Yeah.
But yeah, like I love the turn of, because Meadow originally is like having an out with Carmela and about how the way Jackie died. And she's just like, you know, look at everyone we know, you know. She's sort of making the argument that Jackie's sister eventually makes after the wake when they're at the house. By the way, she pours like a pint of vodka.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit.
I think I probably would have been like, okay, on this take, just you wouldn't fill the whole glass.
A little splash.
Like she would have like fallen asleep in the car with Carmela on the way to.
Yeah. I mean, she's like, supposed to be drunk later, but
yeah. Like, come on.
A lot. But yeah, ultimately,
they ask her, they're like, what are you drinking? Like when she's Cosmo. at Vesuvio,
right,
like,
Cosmo, like, Cosmo, it's named after Egon.
Egon Cosmo's drink. but yeah, ultimately, like when I guess their cousin who does not have ties, familial ties within the mob or whatever.
She's a cousin. Like she would know. Like, right.
Yeah. Yeah. But it does. I like that she sort of is like, sort of, she makes that turn where she's like forced to defend after she had just been like, okay, I know what's really up here.
Right.
You know, because she feels like an outsider's there. And that shows like how she is sort of, you know, with her loyalty to the family and everything. She is sort of like Tony. And Tony says like in a session with Melfi in this episode, like, you know, as long as she gets as far away from me as possible, you know, that's what he wants for her. And I don't think he means like geographically. I think he means like he doesn't want her to be like him whatsoever.
Right.
But meanwhile, like she's asked to kind of, you know, make sure outsiders are not privy to what the fuck is going on with their family and everything else, you know? So,
yeah, it's like, don't reveal the magic trick.
Yeah.
You know, only magicians can know how to do the illusion, you know?
Right.
Come on.
Yeah, you're so right, man.
It's like, you know, like magic.
Yeah. You do birthday parties, right?
Yeah.
No, the other thing they set up briefly for the next season is Janice flirting with Ralphie.
Yeah.
And Janice hasn't really been present for the last few episodes. They sort of like...
Well, you know, because she came into the show because she's been recording with.
She's been recording.
That was funny.
Oh, when she's like to Mr. Cazzarelli, the funeral parlor owner.
Tommy Mottola.
Yeah, sure.
Tommy Mottola looks like he's going to sign us.
Looks like we're getting a contract.
Yeah.
You're telling you're pawning this off on a funeral home owner.
I could care less.
Guy's like, what the fuck?
Immediately puts it in a stack of papers.
It's like Jesus Christ.
God, this girl.
But yeah, ultimately that sort of unholy union plays out next season between Ralphie and Janice doing a lot of coke in the Sopranos bathroom. But yeah, overall good season, guys. Anything
fantastic
else?
Fantastic season. Good. This, you know, before
great season.
Before season 5 came out live, like this was definitely my favorite season.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a season that it was the first season I watched live. And I think, first of all, like binge watching and then watching live week to week are two completely different experiences. There's like, I think when you watch week to week, you're prone to be a little more disappointed because you want
you put things
to
under
be
the
like,
microscope a little more. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have to wait for the next one. And so you're like, I didn't get exactly what I wanted this episode. And it's only upon like rewatches where you really start to appreciate, because there's not that pressure of like, what's going to happen? Oh, it's anticlimactic. Like, now we know and can appreciate that, like, the anticlimax is so part of this show's DNA for a reason. And it just makes sense.
Also, eventually,
it's funny, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, we also started getting accustomed on this show to the penultimate episode being the kind of like exhilarating, action packed episode. And then sort of having the falling action set up for the next season in the finale kind of deal.
Right. You know? So like Isabella after season one, after Tony almost gets shot.
I mean, Funhouse is the exception, right? Like Funhouse is.
Yeah. Although Knight in White Satin Armor in season two, when Richie gets killed, I mean, that still felt
really big and
huge.
And more shocking. And more shocking.
More shocking.
It wasn't
Pussy
leading,
was the bigger character.
Yeah. Pussy
kill off
his downward spiral. You're kind of witnessing the whole season. You're kind of not expecting it, but you know, it's coming. The first time I saw Richie get killed is shocking. Shocking.
Yeah. We all were. But yeah, certainly like there's going forward. Well, I mean, Whitecaps is probably an exception, although there was no big whacking in that.
Right.
So, you
exactly.
know?
Yeah,
but the marriage got whacked, kind of. So,
true.
You're right.
Hey, this you got to tune in for season four, you guys. I'm telling you, because I'm gonna bring more shit like that. That's the season, guys. Do we want to get into Johnny the Nut? Is he here today?
We can if you want.
Is he around?
I think he's around. I heard he was busy flying a lot.
Emailed...
Yeah. He definitely is flying all over the place. He seems to not get sick and he seems to not care. Like he doesn't,
but that's how
doesn't wear a mask.
He works the best on the road. So, you know,
he's just like, he thinks that he had COVID in like the 60s. So I'm immune.
He's patient negative.
I've been
decades
immune.
Decades of antibodies.
Yeah.
Oh, look. This should be a fun one.
Oh, I just got something from Johnny the Nut.
Oh, this would be great.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Where did I put it?
Email it to you?
Yeah, where did he email it to me? You know, I got a lot of stuff on my desktop here. Okay, I found
good.
It. So you know, it's pretty self-explanatory. Paul played Paul, Dave played Dave, and I'll play whatever the rest. Okay. Johnny the Nut loves I am. Johnny the Nut, I'm here, boys. Johnny the Nut loves the pod.
Oh, shit.
Johnny the Nut, Merry Christmas, everyone. As we come to a close on this awful fucking year and the boys take forever to wrap up half the series, I decide to write a little erotic fan fiction for my favorite pod. Here we go.
Son of a bitch.
Joe, the funniest one on the pod is not in the scene because he's too busy gambling and making tons of money playing online blackjack like the boss that he is. Dave enters from a run. He's super gassed. Paul is at the mic waiting to record the pod.
You're late. We said 11 a.m.
Yeah, I texted. I said, let's do 11:15 a.m. I'm late, but you'll be stupid forever.
Well, we better record soon because I got to do another podcast with my friends Hatkoff and Masari about Dave Matthews. Spot on.
Too real.
Spot on.
Yeah, I'm doing that lame podcast with you too. Did you forget?
Joe carrying a bunch of cash. I guess he's in the scene. I guess Joe is actually in the scene.
I didn't know that.
Hey, are we recording or are you two going to suck each other's dicks?
Oh, you got real New York too, Joe.
Indiscernible between the two of you.
Yeah.
You and Johnny.
No, Joe's New York in this.
Okay, all right.
Now that you mention it.
Yeah, actually, kind of could go for a blowjob from a guy named Dave to get ready for my Dave Matthews pod.
Wow, I should probably leave you two alone so I could win mad money at online blackjack. Joe leaves, which is strong of him to do. Let the two boys have their fun.
You son of a bitch.
Jesus.
Unzip my pants, please.
Anything for you, but first let me rub my schnoz on your bald head.
In the Museum of Noses, yours is the freaking Mona Lisa.
Just then, Joe enters with the army principal from the military academy scene in this ep. Stop the shit. The core. Hey, guys, I got the military guy from this ep to toughen you up.
But we want to suck each other's cocks.
Well, you can't, okay? You have to do that on your own time. Not on a time when we're about to record.
Nice.
You guys, it's about the pod, not about sucking each other off. And with that, Joe saved the pod and Christmas too and discovered a new vaccine that cures all diseases. I'm so glad he's on the pod. We should probably rename it Joe, a Sopranos podcast. See you next year. Oh, my God.
Jesus.
Wow.
I can't believe he would.
Masterpiece.
He loves me so much, Johnny the Nut.
There's nowhere to go from here. I feel like.
There's plenty.
There's definitely a lot of places to go from here. So,
I mean, unless we want to end it, I mean, that might have been the best. That might have been the best, Johnny the Nut.
I mean, we're talking about ending things on anticlimax. Like this would be appropriate. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Johnny the Nut's been very suicidal lately, telling me that he wants me to end his life. So we could kill him, or we could give the fans what we want.
Oh shit! Up to the fans. And if enough fans message us. They want more Johnny the Nut.
If enough fan keeps asking for it.
If one fan.
Is it the one fan? Did you see the reply to Gabrus?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't someone replied to Gabrus like, you have to come back on the pod this year, Johnny the Nut. Yeah. Which Gabrus would love.
Yeah.
I think it was Rick Perry.
So, you know.
Rick Perry.
Everybody likes the
it's
Nut.
It's a crowd pleaser. Oh, hey everyone. I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As a part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. It's awesome. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And here's the best part. You can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you for initial setup. So, whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. Now to apply, just go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more. And just remember, that's bwhustle.com/join.
So let's go on a fucking internet.
Fucking internet.
Last fucking internet of the season.
Joe has his mask on.
Let's do it.
Joe's masked up.
This one from user.
That's right.
Touch rub feels.
Ooh. Oh.
Feels appropriate right after that nut episode.
After all that dick sucking.
Let's see. If Tony doesn't side with Ralph at the sit down in Army of One, season 3, episode 13, the whole 98-pound mole thing never happens. Okay, we kind of discussed this, actually. I'll move on. This one, I just wanted to say touch rub feels. This one, user Esme Shoma Chie.
Ooh.
C-H-I-E-H.
Chie.
Chie.
Who was the Michigan basketball player Tony is reading about in The Army of One? Tony is reading in the paper about a 19-year-old Michigan basketball star who figures to go in the first round of the NBA draft as a sophomore. He notes the player died of a crack cocaine overdose. Sounds sort of like the Len Bias story, but yeah, it's Len not Bias. Him. Was this a real player or fictional? Suppose it was a player around the early 2000s because it's season three. Let's hear it, sports boys.
I thought it was like just – it was like Len Bias. Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
He was a guy who was he was going to be a very, very good player. He was drafted by the Celtics, and then he died of a cocaine overdose.
That sounds exact. Around that time?
It was 90s.
No.
Right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right? Even like early 90s,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So,
but I think because I think they're just reading the paper and he's just up. Like, yeah, he's making it up.
Yeah.
I think he's using that story because Carmella doesn't know it probably.
Right. Yeah.
And he's just like using it as a, like, you know,
yeah,
he's like warming her up for the news he knows she's going to get about Jackie Jr.
Right.
Yeah. And also just deflecting like any sort of like, you know, thoughts she may have about his involvement.
Yeah.
With Jackie Jr. Yeah. I think I that's what I mean. That could be it could also be not true,
right.
But
no, I think you're right, Spells.
I wouldn't put it past Tony to do something like that.
I think
always,
you're absolutely right.
Yeah, that's always been my feeling because it seems too on the nose, you know. Mm-hmm.
Right. A little convenient. Right.
Yeah, a little convenient.
This one from Friary, Army of One question. How does Jackie Jr. end up going into hiding in the projects? Who set that up? Is that why everyone seems to know he's there?
It's that dude who also ends up being a pallbearer. You notice that?
I know, right? I saw that. Oh,
wait,
wow.
The dude
that was a good touch.
Your Guido friends will never find you here. He's then like one of the lead pallbearers at the funeral.
Oh.
He's in the front, carrying him. You know, it was a friend. Yeah. It was just like another one of his jerk-off friends. And then probably who's not Italian, who's not like...
Also, worst delivered line.
It's awful.
Yeah,
like that was terrible.
Yeah.
He's like, I gotta get Brian O'Callaghan to help me out. So he calls him and then he's like, I'll be a pallbearer.
Right. So wait, do you think it was that guy who ratted him out where he was too?
I don't know.
Maybe not, but it does seem like maybe I just noticed it more on this rewatch. But it seems like they make a point of you seeing that he's carrying, you know, there's so much like hypocrisy, like exposed throughout the series.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe he was the one and now he's the fucking pallbearer, you know, like one of the pallbearers.
It's true.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's possible. It's possible.
Yeah. I think maybe even the writers don't know the answer. They just probably wanted to hint at that.
Of course. Like if we learned anything from David Chase, like he wants to keep everything as ambiguous as possible. So
true.
But you know, that kid would definitely like feel bad. And then like, you know, to get take some of the blame off of himself, he would be like, oh yeah, I'll be a pallbearer.
Yeah.
Right.
Showing the hypocrisy.
Right, yeah.
For
yeah.
sure.
But anybody will do like anything for fucking bonus points with the Soprano crew. It's like,
yeah, true.
I mean,
that's true. This one from user Irish Eyes KBL06. I've never understood where Vito was. Or better yet, could have been hiding just before he appears seemingly out of nowhere and pops Jackie Jr. in the Army of One. It doesn't add up. A, it's broad daylight on a narrow street and up a steep hill. B, Vito ain't exactly a small guy.
It's a fair point.
Fair.
He's in the snow.
Yeah, yeah.
He's in like a snowbank.
Pretending to be a snowman. He's got like the carrot in his mouth and the buttons in his eyes. And
yeah, you didn't see that? Irish Eyes, KBL06? Come on.
Jackie Jr.'s like, whoa, is that a snowman? I guess
snowman looks real.
Whoa. Yeah,
someone didn't take down their Christmas decoration.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of movie magic, guy. Like they cheat it a little bit to for the element of surprise. Forgivable, I think. But you know, or maybe Joe Gennascoli kept fucking toppling down that hill, and they just needed to like get him there.
Right.
So.
Right.
Anyway, this one from user Sopranos 99. Ooh, an OG. Why did Ralphie change his mind about giving Jackie Jr. a pass? After Jackie goes into hiding following the botched robbery of Eugene's card game with Carlo and Dino, Ralphie tells Tony he wants to give him a pass. He then seems to stall, and Tony has to remind him to make a decision in a timely fashion. Later, we see Jackie Jr. whacked by big Vito Spadafore. What led to Ralphie changing his mind?
It's a pain in the ass.
I mean, well, I also think he always sort of knew how it was going to end up. And, right. And
he just didn't want to be the one to make the call.
Yeah, he was avoiding that call, and that was his hesitation, because it is hard. And they do sort of, like, I mean, as fucked up in the head as he is, like, they don't make Ralphie, because he could have casually been like, yeah, this kid's got to go. But he does have some sort of moral quandary with killing his girlfriend's son.
But he also clearly, like, wants to make a clean break from Rosalie at this point too.
Well, because, like, he doesn't want to have to deal with a grieving woman, right, that's entirely selfish on his part, yeah, too. But I think Tony didn't really give him a choice. Like, Tony, like, that scene in the last episode is one of my favorite scenes, where he's like laying it down for Ralphie, mm-hmm, where he's like, don't care about what other people say behind your back. They can't say to your face, like, right, letting him know, like, people are going to be fucking talking about you if you don't do the right thing here and take care of this kid.
Also, right? when Ralphie says, I've been at my Gumar's all night. Do you think he was at Janice's?
Could have been, yeah. At this point, I mean, maybe, yeah. I mean,
I don't think that's, like, knows, the first time they were just like, she's like sitting in his fucking lap at Vesuvio. Like,
didn't he and Aaron Arkaway have to fist fight for Janice's love?
Oh God, the weird sex those three probably funny. Had. Yeah.
Hey, Johnny the Nut, if he gets voted back by the fans.
Oh shit. Oh shit. Oh shit. It should have been he should have wrote that.
Yeah, seriously. okay, this from user Ariel 755. Unnecessary scenes. There are certain scenes in the show that after I see them, I just sort of wonder why they are there. Do you guys have any you feel that way about? Here are mine. 1, Uncle Junior singing for what feels like too long at the end of Army of One. 2, Artie cooking the rabbit. 3, Fran Felstein singing.
Oh God.
The rabbit scene is great.
4, Tony waking up at the Bing after killing Ralphie, yelling for Christopher, who's not there, walking out the back door, and the episode just ending. And 5, Tony doing drugs in Vegas.
It's a weird
list. I mean, unnecessary. I don't know that, like, everything's unnecessary. What the fuck is necessary, yeah, right? Like, who's
Fran Felstein
that,
but... that whole storyline I could do without.
But it's like purposefully everybody cringeful. Hates that. Like, they did that moment, like, and to great effect.
Sure. True.
Making people uncomfortable.
Right. Right.
Do I wish I'd never seen it? Maybe. But
the weird wipe.
I get it within the context of the episode.
The weird wipe when Carmella is at the school. That always sticks in my mind because it's
always
so
very
jarring.
Strange. I mean, that's the first one people think of. But I mean, I know a lot of people hate you got out a suitcase scene from season 5 with Meadow and Finn. I would say maybe that's like unnecessarily drawn out.
But it's a very real, like, college relationship real, argument.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I kind of agree. Like, I mean, I don't like the ending of season 3. I still don't like it. I get it, but it's definitely like, you know.
You wish it was something different.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, from the start, though, season 3 was a little bit hobbled just because they lost Nancy Marchand when they had written like the first few episodes or whatever. So they had to go back and rewrite, and that changes the whole arc of the season, right?
Sure.
And where you start, where you end. But anyway,
had to be especially.
But I guess it makes sense what it is. It's sort of setting up more stuff for season 4,
for sure.
Had to be especially hard for David Chase because on Talking Sopranos, which listeners, if you haven't listened to that episode with David Chase, the interview with him is fantastic. I was like, the whole time I was like, I can't believe he's doing this because he hates this shit. And he seemed to actually really enjoy it, like as much as he can enjoy things.
Right. Just listen to that one app. Like, don't listen anymore.
Yeah. Don't listen when listen they're covering.
Listen to this podcast.
Don't listen to actually them cover actual episodes. Just listen to that shit.
Can we just like take the David Chase interview and splice our voices in asking the questions instead of Imperioli and Steve Sciarrapa.
Actually, really funny.
Should we
do our interview with David Chase?
I'll cut this out and we'll just do it. that's really funny. No, but he said that the two people, like his two favorite characters to write for, were Dominic Chinis and Nancy Marchand were the two people he enjoyed most. So
yeah,
had to be really rough. Even though she was getting old and she was sick, like it had to be really rough for him and the writing staff to just start over.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think they did
because that was like the heart of the show was Tony and Livia at its outset.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah, that's all I got for fucking internet, guys. That's a good place to end.
Yeah.
Good season.
Great season.
Great season.
Really enjoyed it.
Hey.
Now we really, really get going into season 4. I mean, Oh, baby.
Next up, we got For All Debts, Public and Private.
Great stuff. We get a lot of great fucking Johnny Sack and,
Season 4 is really where the New York storylines sort of start to intertwine with The Sopranos. And everybody's like, for the next 3 seasons, they're like, I think a war is coming.
Right.
Like, you remember, like, I mean, when it was airing, it was like, there's going to be a fucking war between New York and New Jersey. Tony's crew versus Johnny's crew. Like,
yeah, it's smart. And then they make you wait till the last episode.
Like the second to last episode.
Right.
But
good stuff.
Good stuff ahead.
Thank you as always. We've gotten some new listeners in the last few weeks, so welcome. Thanks for listening. If you have any questions, concerns, comments, you can always email us at osopranospod@gmail.com. Please give us a follow at osopranospod on Instagram and Twitter. You know, we post the episodes, but you know, we also throw out those memes for you guys. You know, we're like time immemorial Sopranos Graham light, you know, like really light. Really, really light. Give us a little subscribe, a little 5-star review goes a long way. Happy New Year, everybody. Be safe, be smart, and we'll see you guys in the new year with season 4. Until next time.
Oh,
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 oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh,